Welcome to Author Express. Thanks for checking us out. This is the podcast where you give us 15 minutes of your time and we give you a chance to hear the voice behind the pages and get to know some of your favorite writers in a new light. I'm one of your hosts, Christy Leonard, owner and host of Writers in the Wild Retreats, nonfiction voiceover artist, and president of WFWA. I'm excited to share with you a little about today's guest. As an award-winning indie author, that combination comes in handy as she juggles writing, publishing, and marketing. Catherine writes stories about strong women finding the courage to face the storm and live their dreams, usually in the company of a faithful hound. While one side of her brain monitors the data, the other side hopes readers will connect deeply with her words. Catherine lives in the Pacific Northwest, where she writes in the early mornings with her dogs, Delta and Wally. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, it's so great to have you. We ask the same question every time, and mostly because the answers end up as different as the authors. Are you ready?
Sure.
Tell me the most interesting thing about where you're from.
I would say the most interesting thing about being from the Pacific Northwest and more specifically the Puget Sound is that we have everything. We have mountains and we have the ocean nearby and beautiful farmland. And I mean, it feels like a microcosm of all of the different environments in the country, really. You know, you can go to the desert in a couple of hours if you want, or you can be skiing in a couple of hours.
That sounds amazing because I'm in Florida and we don't have that.
It really is amazing. I love it here.
That's awesome. So we like to start off getting to know you as a person a little bit. We always say we're getting to know the authors behind the books. So let's get to know you. What is a piece of advice that someone has given you that you consider sort of the best of the best? It could be about writing. It doesn't have to be. It can be about anything.
Wow. What a great question. I feel like I have an entire blog devoted to this exact question. I guess let's talk about writing first. And I think the best advice that I've ever had is to trust and believe in your voice. If you start from a place where you're writing really from your voice and from that place that you most deeply connect with, then it will be a beautiful story.
That's awesome. I can see where that would actually also be kind of true in life.
Yes. Yeah. I would say, especially if you're thinking about parenting, you know, that when you act from love in those deep parts of you, that's really the best place to be.
Oh, I love that. Well, I was going to ask what advice that you give to other people most often, and I'm going to guess it's probably along those same lines.
Yeah, I would say so. And I am very big on just reminding people that, you know, the journey is the goal. You know, that we so often want to be done or complete or accomplished or whatever. And we forget that, you know, all of this life, writing, all of our experiences, you know, the journey is the thing.
That's so true. My advice that I always give my kids, especially, and it doesn't have to just be with the kids, but anytime someone confounds you or irritates you or you get in a fight with someone, I always tell them they're not done yet.
Right.
Because none of us are we ever? We're not done. We all have something we can learn. We all have something, you know, that we can change.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Well, I am excited to talk about your book. This is your second book. I've actually read both of them and they kind of hit a little different. They're very similar, just like we said at the top about how you write about women and that type of thing. But this new one really hit home for me because it's about sisters, and I have two sisters.
The sisterhood is a powerful thing.
It really is. So for context, let's tell everybody, how would you summarize your book in one sentence? No pressure.
When Molly Casey realizes her days are numbered, she manipulates her two estranged sisters into a rerun of their last family road trip before the family broke apart. But she is unaware of the secrets that they have been holding on to all these years. And so her plan really opens all these old wounds, and they spill out across four states. And the women are forced to decide what they can forgive in themselves and in each other.
That was a very long sentence, but you did it.
I love conjunctions.
Yeah, I was like, what? And? Yes, that encapsulates it quite well. How did you come up with a road trip as the avenue for this? I think that, do you take a lot of road trips?
Well, it's funny. I was visiting my sister in Georgia during the pandemic, and she and I love road trips. But of course, you know, we were all sort of, you know, halted. So our only road trip that we could figure out at the time was to go to Calhoun, Georgia, where there is a rock garden behind a church. No, it's the most phenomenal thing I have ever seen. Yeah, this church, as a meditative and spiritual practice, their members take these tiny stones and they have built the Colosseum, Bethlehem, Jerusalem.
Out of rocks.
Notre Dame. Yes, it's all like 3 feet tall. And it was just phenomenal. So as we were driving around, my sister said, you know, you should write a book about a road trip, because road trips are so great. You know, you never know where you're going to go. You don't know if it's going to be disappointment or amazing. It's always a side trip. And of course, she and I are hilarious when we're together. So that's how it started out.
That's so awesome.
But as I started writing, I remembered this moment when all of my sisters were together and we were looking through my mother's photographs. My mother has been dead for quite some time, but my father was quite ill and dying, essentially. And so we were looking through these photographs, and I saw this photograph of me with one of my sisters. And I had this epiphany moment where I thought, wow, all of my memories are probably not accurate. You know, and of course, we all think that way. And as an educator, I know, you know, that children developmentally are very egocentric and, you know, the world is all about them. But it morphed this book into exploring how sometimes, you know, we're all in the same house, but our experiences are vastly different because of our relationship with our parents, because of where our parents are in life at the time that we're at a formative period. And sometimes, because those things are so old and so childish, not in a negative way, but in a, you know, in a chronological way, we hold on to them deeply and their meaning to us. And it's hard to let them go or to imagine that something happened in a way that's different than we remember.
It's, you know, the narrative you tell yourself.
Exactly. So the book sort of morphed into what would happen if you're stuck in a car for 2,600 miles with somebody that you had been estranged from. And we're trying to hold those secrets in, and often very benevolently. Like, I don't want to hurt you, and if I tell you this secret, you're going to be hurt. But also from the perspective of, like, I will also have to own my part in this relationship and in what happened all those years ago. And of course, we know, you know, the child shame is the oldest shame, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it just sort of went that way. And I think that there are very funny parts in this book for sure. And a friend of mine said, it just, like, I've had all the feelings.
Yes, I totally can agree with that 100%. Well, a big part of that is actually the dogs. So yes, you and I have that in common. My books also have dogs, and you have two very different dogs in this book, and I absolutely love them and how you wrote them. How much of your own dogs ended up in this story?
Oh, that's interesting. You know what? ironically, because as you know, I have a pit bull and a boxer. So I have big dogs and I love big dogs. But the Lhasa Apso, I had one as a little kid. And there is a scene in the book where the girl is comforting this dog. She's very young. And of course, her mom is scared to death because she thinks the girl has run off and she's lost this girl. And really, she's just sort of hiding in the grass, comforting this dog. And, you know, I don't remember the circumstances of it, but I just remember times when I was very connected to this dog. His name was Nelson Rockefeller. I don't know why I named it that. I was so little. I was like, yeah, I was in elementary school. But this dog was so important to me, and it was a very sweet, fluffy, just really comforting dog. So yeah, that I've never had a Bernese Mountain Dog, but I think they're beautiful. What I really liked about these two dogs was the way that they navigated their relationship, being sort of much more mature than the women, you know, like they figured it out.
Oh, I can totally see that. 100%. So awesome. Well, we'd like to also talk a little bit about like the writing life. And you and I share the fact that we are both on the board of the Women's Fiction Writers Association. But the thing I want you to tell me about is the writing dates. Because that's a big, like, how much a part of your like writer life is the writing dates?
Huge part, as a matter of fact. So the writing dates are put on by the Women's Fiction Writers Association. They started during the pandemic. Michelle Montgomery, one of the members, had this idea to bring people together virtually since we were losing that sense of community. And quite often our members across the country and world will meet in small groups. And of course, we couldn't do that. So now that group is happening 2 or 3 times a day, 7 days a week. And so it's a pretty amazing thing to behold. And I don't understand the magic of it, but we literally all get together and we state what we're going to work on. And then we turn off our mics and our cameras and we write for 90 minutes and then we check in at the end and then we have a chance to ask questions and talk. And it is truly magical. Like books get written in this this group. In fact, I finished Releasing the Reins in this group, and I started and finished Roadside Sisters in this group. And actually, at the time, I was still working full time. So the only time I could write during the week, I did the writing dates on the weekend, but during the week, I really couldn't get to any other meeting. And there was a woman, Amy Sue Nathan, a wonderful writer, the author of The Last Bathing Beauty. She had started a group at what would be 5 a.m. my time. And it was just 1 hour and it was sort of a little bit of an offshoot, but I never would have met this woman except for the writing dates. And she said, oh, you know what? Come join us. And so it gave me a chance to write during the week from 5 to 6 before I went to work. So I'd get up at 4 and work out, take a shower and go write for an hour and then go to work.
Yeah. And the accountability is just phenomenal.
And the connection to other writers. I mean, I learned everything I learned about writing and publishing probably came from talking to the amazing mentors that just organically happen through this group.
Well, if you can believe it, we are approaching the end of this conversation. It seems crazy to me that it went by so fast. We also want to make sure that people know how to find you. So I assume you have a website. Yes,
I do. KatherineMatthewsAuthor.com. Quite simple. And everything's there. My books, my blog.
Awesome. Yeah, your blog's awesome. I love reading your blog.
Thank you.
So before we wrap up, I've got one last question that I ask every guest. What book or story inspires you the most?
All right. So this is the hardest question ever.
I know,
because
isn't it?
I love books and authors. But I'm going to say The Divine Secrets of the Yaya Sisterhood by Rebecca Wells, which was written in, I think, 1992.
Wow. I haven't thought of that book in a million years.
What I really loved about this book was how she weaved the past and the present together in this really honest and vulnerable way. How she examined, you know, how the past impacts the future. And really those themes of sisterhood where women are really in the foreground, You know, so often those things take a backseat. So it really, I think, influenced how I look at the world, but also it influenced how I write.
That is such a great book. I'm going to have to go back and read that again.
It is such a great book.
Well, thank you, Catherine Matthews, for joining us today. It has been an absolute joy to have you on the podcast.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure. The pleasure is mine.
Thanks for joining us. We hope you take a second to give us stars or a review on your favorite podcasting platform. And we'll be here again next Wednesday. Follow us on Instagram at Author Express Podcast to see who's coming up next. Don't forget, keep it express, but keep it interesting.